Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Revved to the Max by Melanie Moreland. Narrated by John Lane and Maxine Mitchell. Chapter 1. Max. The night was pitch black, and outside the wind blew hot and strong. The only other sound was the low beat of the rock music playing in the background. I took a long draw on the bottle of beer I had grabbed from the small fridge in the garage and finished the sandwich I had thrown together. I stared at the computer, then opened a new document. I scrubbed my face in vexation. I had no idea how to do this, nor did I particularly want to, but at this point it was something I had to try, like it or not. Wanted. Helper. Strike that. Errand boy. Strike that. Errand girl. No. Assistant. Nope. Personal assistant. Strike that. Housekeeper, bookkeeper, sidekick. Strike all those. I sat and mulled over the list. None of the descriptions seemed right. A memory floated through my head of my dad and mom in the office. He always called her his girl Friday, saying there wasn't a task she couldn't do. He always insisted she was better at everything in the office than he was, and he'd be lost without her. That was the sort of person I needed. I typed it into the ad. Girl Friday. Duties. Running mechanic shop plus. Strike that. Housekeeping, grocery shopping, laundry, cooking meals. Must also be proficient at bookkeeping, invoicing, other various duties. Strike that. I looked over the list with a frown. Mary, my neighbor, had told me to place an ad on this site and be very specific about what I was looking for. I reread the list and started typing again. When it was done, I checked it, deciding it was specific enough. Wanted, Girl Friday, duties, housekeeping, grocery shopping, laundry, cooking meals, must also be proficient at bookkeeping, invoicing, banking, inventory control, and website upkeep for business. Must be able to drive, be highly organized, and able to work without supervision. Must like living in the country with limited access to major towns. Must like dogs. Ability to make pies an asset. Work, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., Saturday afternoons and Sundays are free. Room with private bath, board plus salary. Only serious applicants need apply. I looked around the shop. I needed help. Since Shannon had taken off, things had gotten worse. They'd been slipping for a long time, but somehow I had never noticed. I snorted and drained my beer. I hadn't noticed a lot of things. I paused. Was the pie thing a bit over the top? I knew pie making was a lost art and probably not done by people under the age of 50. I decided to leave it. Maybe it would weed out the non-serious applicants. I loaded up the document on solutions for you and double-checked it for errors. I liked the fact that with this website you could chat with interested parties and get a feel for them before hiring. I tried a couple of other job sites but didn't like them. This one had simpler guidelines and was not only for jobs. You could buy and sell things, trade, post for lost articles. In the past, I had only used it to find parts, but Mary had found her last two helpers there and encouraged me to try. It seemed like a good idea. I had nothing to lose at this point. I wasn't really holding out much hope on this idea, although I had to try something. You could choose the reach of your ad, and I purposely set this one for outside my region, but within the province. I had to hire from outside the small town where I lived. I didn't want to see the pitying looks or give the gossips anything new to yak about by having them here in my shop and especially in my home. I needed a stranger with no connections to this place or me. Someone I didn't know or care about and who felt the same way about me. It was simple. I needed a job done and I was sure there was someone out there looking for a job to do. Satisfied, I hit submit. Now all I had to do was wait for the applicants to fly in. Who could resist such a great job offer?
Charlin. I stared at the piece of paper in my hand, horrified. I was certain I had to be reading this wrong. Eviction notice, I whispered. I looked up at my landlord. Eviction notice? I repeated, my voice louder. But I'm only behind by a month. Terry leaned on the door jamb, not at all concerned. He looked me over with one of his long leers that I hated. I backed up a step, not liking his close proximity.
Nope. Including this one, you owe me 3 months.
Three? I squeaked. But I gave Trish my share of the rent. I don't understand. She told me the rent was paid. I have the receipts.
Let me see them.
I hurried into the small kitchen and yanked open the drawer. I pulled out the envelope and grabbed the slips of paper. I turned, startled, when I realized Terry had followed me into the kitchen. I didn't like him very much. He gave me the creeps. I tamped down my nervousness and thrust out the papers. Here. He looked at them and shook his head, pushing them back at me.
Fakes.
I looked down at the slips. When Trish had told me the rent was paid, I never looked at the slips. She put them in the drawer with the others. Now, as I studied them, I could see Terry wasn't lying. These were copies. Where did the money go? I mumbled. He shrugged.
She gave it to someone else.
I fought down my sense of panic. There has to be something I can do. I swallowed my revulsion at asking Terry for anything, but I had no choice. Trish screwed me over, Terry. She took off with everything I owned and cleaned me out. Plus, I lost my job. Surely you can give me a little time to figure things out? A predatory light sparked in his eyes, and he came closer, his eyes traveling up and down my body, this time not bothering to disguise his interest.
I could let you pay off what you owe the same way your roomie did.
What?
She paid your rent the last couple of months on her back.
He winked lewdly.
And her knees.
I took a step back, shaking my head wildly. No. He smiled. It was cold and cruel.
I bet you're a hellcat in bed, aren't you?
He reached out and grabbed a piece of my hair, pulling on it sharply.
Redheads are known for their tempers. I'd like to see you all riled up and fighting me.
He paused, licking his lips.
I like it when they fight.
My stomach turned at his words. I slapped away his hand, disgusted. Unless you want your balls in your throat, I suggest you step back. I said no. Get out. His expression never faded. If anything, it got colder.
Give me what I want, and you get to keep your apartment for another month.
He sneered at me.
If you're good, maybe longer.
I wanted to gag, but instead I tilted my head and studied him as if considering his generous offer. I stepped forward and laid my hand on top of his, casting my eyes downward. His grunt of satisfaction became a howl of pain as I roughly bent back his fingers. I took advantage of his discomfort and gripped his arm upward, bending it at an awkward angle I knew would be painful. I frog-marched him over to my door, pushing him out. I'd rather be homeless. I slammed the door shut and locked it, fuming. I slid the chain in place with a loud snap. I could hear him cursing and muttering on the other side of the closed door. I walked away, only to swing around when the door unlocked and Terry's ugly face appeared through the opening allowed by the chain.
You forget, bitch. I have a key that gets me in any time I want.
He slammed the door before I could move. For a moment, I stood, anxiety sinking into my chest. He was right. He could get in any time. There had been times after my first roommate, Rhonda, moved out. I thought someone had been in the apartment while I wasn't home, but I could never prove it. My next roommate, Trish, worked from home, and she denied he'd ever bothered her. Terry lifted the mail slot of the old-fashioned door.
You have until the end of the month. Either pay up what you owe plus an extra month, or you're out of here.
The mail slot slammed with a loud, metallic noise, and his heavy footsteps echoed in the hall. The end of the month was in a week. I owed 3 months' worth of back rent now. I slid down the wall, pulling my hair in worry. I looked around the small apartment. I had lived here for 2 years. When Rhonda had gotten married, I had advertised and found a new person to split the bills. Trish seemed great at first. She liked to cook, she was fun to be around, and I felt as if I had found a new friend. When I confessed to finding the landlord a little unnerving, and that Rhonda had always dealt with him, Trish insisted she be the one to pay the rent every month, saying she didn't want me uncomfortable and she could handle him. She'd made a point of showing me she put the receipt in the drawer the first month, and I never gave it a second thought after that. until I came home one day, 2 weeks ago, to find she'd hacked into my accounts, stolen all my money, racked up some charges on my credit card, taken anything of value I owned, and disappeared. Literally. It was as if she had never existed, which, it turned out, she hadn't. When I went to the police to file a report, I discovered I had been scammed. There was no such person as Trish Gordon. She was good. The numbers I had called to check out her references no longer existed. The names on her application were all fake. She was a pro, and I had fallen for her friendly, helpful act, hook, line, and sinker. The same week, I lost my job. The industrial company I worked for simply closed their doors with no warning. I hadn't been able to find another full-time job, and the part-time ones I could find barely covered basic necessities, never mind rent. I had been further horrified when I found out the money I had put aside for this month's rent, Trish took along with everything else. And now, I found she had taken the other rent money and traded it off for blowjobs and sex. I was screwed. Completely screwed. Kelly looked at me over her glass. "What can I do, Char?" I sipped my wine. Kelly was almost as broke as I was, so there was no point in asking her for a loan. "Nothing. I have to move and find a job in a week. Easy peasy, right? You can sleep on my couch," she offered half-heartedly. I patted her hand. "You sleep on your couch already." Kelly's apartment was tiny, one room in a boarding house. She loved it, but the one time we had tried to live together, it almost destroyed our friendship. We were two very different people. "We could figure it out." "Thanks." I hated to think it might come down to that, but the truth was, it might. "Where have you applied?" "Everywhere. Coffee shops, temp services, businesses. I've put my resume online on a bunch of those job sites." "Nothing." "Let me see." I handed her my laptop and filled up my wine. It was one of the few things Trish had left behind. The box too awkward to carry, I supposed. That, and ramen, made a great dinner. The first time. By the 10th, it was barely palatable. Now, the wine was almost gone, and so was the ramen.
"You've covered a lot."
"I know." "What is solutions for you?" she asked with a frown. "Oh, it's like Craigslist. A little less formal than some other job sites," I explained. "You can find a job or a new dresser if you want. It's sort of a catch-all of ads. I heard about it and figured nothing ventured, nothing gained."
"I suppose."
She scanned the screen.
"Oh, look, here's a new listing," she snickered. "It looks interesting."
I peered over her shoulder, squinting a little to see the screen. Between the wine and not knowing where my glasses were, it was hard to concentrate. "Wanted: Girl Friday. Duties: housekeeping, grocery shopping, laundry, cooking meals. Must also be proficient in bookkeeping, invoicing, banking, inventory control, and website upkeep for business. Must be able to drive, be highly organized, and able to work without supervision. Must like living in the country with limited access to major towns. Must like dogs. Ability to make pies an asset. Work: Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Saturday afternoons and Sundays are free. Room with private bath, board plus salary. Only serious applicants need apply." I started to laugh.
"Seriously? Girl Friday? Who uses that expression these days, old farts?"
Kelly snickered.
"That's quite a list."
"Wow, it certainly is," I muttered, reading.
"You are a great baker. You make an awesome lemon pie. Your blueberry is pretty stellar, too," she joked.
I giggled and nudged her with my elbow.
"Definitely an old guy.
They like pies." I skimmed it again, looking at his username, and snorted.
"Cycle Man has a lot of musts. The guy must be a control freak. Is he looking for an employee or a wife?
Holy moly, the only thing not listed is bearing children and missionary sex.
she winked. Maybe he likes anal. No babies that way. I snorted in amusement. I can't believe anyone would post something like that. I looked at the stats.
It has 4 replies.
Oh my God. People, she shook her head. They are weird. I shut the laptop and drained my glass. That they are. Chapter 2. Charlene. Kelly left, and I locked the door, staring at the mainly empty apartment. The old sofa and a battered table were all that remained. Anything Trish had been able to lift and carry was gone. In the bedroom, my bed sat on the floor, since she'd dismantled the frame and took that. The dresser that held my clothes was still there. No doubt she thought it was too old and ugly to bother with. She'd taken everything from the room she had stayed in. I was grateful that we weren't the same size, otherwise I was certain all my clothes would be gone as well. Luckily, she hadn't touched my closet, which meant the photo albums that belonged to my parents were safe. At least, I still had those. I'd had my laptop with me that day. If I hadn't, I knew it too would have been gone. With a sigh, I decided to take a shower. I was exhausted. I changed into my robe, stopping at the sound of a knock at my door. Laughing, I went to open it, wondering what Kelly had forgotten. She was scatterbrained and left her keys or phone behind all the time. But it wasn't Kelly's smiling face that greeted me. Terry was standing there, swaying slightly, the smell of liquor rolling off him. He leered at me openly. I pushed the door, leaving it ajar a few inches. "What do you want?" He eyed me through the narrow opening.
"Wanted to see if you changed your mind."
"No." I tried to push the door closed, but he shoved his foot in, stopping me. His voice was low and angry.
"You think you're too good for me?"
"I am not trading sexual favors for rent. Get away from my door or I'll call the cops," I snapped. He leaned on the door and I let it go. Unprepared, he fell into the apartment and I jumped on his back, bending his arm. "How many times are we going to do this, you asshole?" "I said no." I stood. "Get out." He stumbled to his feet, fury in his expression. I dared him to do something. With the door open, there would be witnesses. I could scream with the best of them. He staggered closer, his stale breath making me want to gag.
"I can get in your apartment any time I want, you little whore. Think about that while you're calling the cops,"
he snorted.
"My word against yours."
But he turned and stumbled away.
"Bitch,"
he muttered. I shut the door and locked it, then stared at the wood. He could get in. He had master keys to every door. There was only one lock, plus the silly little chain I could slide across and use to peek out the door if I wanted. It gave me zero protection against someone like Terry, and I wasn't sure the cops would do anything. I'd had enough trouble convincing them about Trish. It was only when another cop overheard me and knew of an additional complaint that they took me seriously enough to file a report. I shivered, deciding to forego the shower, and sat down on the sofa. I opened my laptop, Googling ideas for added protection for a door. 10 minutes later, I stepped back and admired my handiwork. I had slid the blade of a butter knife under the loose door trim, with the handle resting on the door, adding a small layer of protection. I added 2 more knives along the frame to be sure. Terry could unlock the door, but the knives would stop him from opening the door unless he broke it down. He would never draw that sort of attention to himself. It was a small thing, but perhaps with them in place, I would sleep a little. Rattled, I drank the last of the wine, the buzz catching up with me. Pissed off, angry at the world and needing to stay busy, I clicked on the Solutions for You site, shaking my head in disbelief at how many people had contacted Cycle Man about his fabulous job. Unable to resist, I sent him a message. "Charlie, is this a posting for a job or a wife?" "Cycle Man."
"What kind of question is that?"
"It's a job. The duties are listed." "Charlie,
sexist? Girl Friday? Duties? How old are you? Get with the times."
"Cycle Man,
Forgive me for the insult. What would you suggest? Person Friday? You interested? I snorted. Charlie.
Person Friday would at least be better, but I don't work for sexists. In this day and age, you need to be respectful. The position would be assistant, aide, office manager. Dude, get with the times.
Cycle man. Not sexist. Never done this before. I will change the wording if I can figure out how. I laughed again. As I suspected, he was older.
Charlie. Good luck with finding someone to do all that for you. I suppose you had best add maid to the listing.
Cycle man. If you are applying, your attitude needs some adjusting.
Charlie.
I'm not the right type for the job.
Cycle man.
Because you're male? I'd hire a guy. In fact, I would prefer it.
Less trouble. I furrowed my brow. Why did he think I was a guy?
Another burst of laughter left my lips.
Charlie was short for Charlene. My friends called me Char or Charlie. I always used a shorter version online.
I shrugged, since it didn't matter.
Charlie. Guys can be trouble, too. I should know. And few can bake pies.
Cycle man. Now who's sexist?
Charlie. Just keeping it real, unlike your posting.
Cycle man. I'm too busy to keep chatting. If you aren't interested, good night. I flipped the monitor the finger and closed the window.
Interested? Not likely. Good luck to whoever went to work for him.
I felt better after giving him a hard time, though.
Not better enough to sleep well. I napped on the sofa, my cell phone and a kitchen knife close at hand. Morning took forever to arrive. I had to go out the next morning since I had a job interview lined up. I dressed carefully, checked to make sure the hallway was empty, and headed out. I was exhausted and still unsure what I was going to do, but holding on to hope that if I got a job today, I could sleep on Kelly's floor for a while and find a new place while I saved up for the first and last month's rent. I certainly couldn't stay at my place anymore. Even if I got this job today, I didn't have enough money to pay the back rent, and there was no way I was going near Terry. I arrived at the building 10 minutes early, stopped at the washroom to make sure I was tidy, and headed up to the office number I'd been given. I smiled at the receptionist, giving her my name. She frowned at me.
I'm sorry. There's been some confusion. My heart dropped.
I beg your pardon?
The position was filled yesterday. You were supposed to have been contacted.
I swallowed, my throat dry.
I didn't get a call.
She huffed out a sigh.
I apologize for wasting your time.
Is there anything else? Another position? I asked, desperate. I can do anything.
No.
Her face softened.
I'm really sorry. I know it's hard out there.
Good luck. I hurried away before she saw the tears gathering in my eyes. I returned to the bathroom I'd been in earlier and shut myself into a stall. I let the tears I was holding in go, sobbing into my hands. I had been counting on this, or something, to go right. This was the last interview I had lined up. I let myself cry, then wiped my eyes, and used the sink to wash my hands and splash cold water on my face. I walked aimlessly around downtown Toronto. I had such high hopes when I came here, the lure of the big city fascinating me. Now it seemed cold and scary. I had never felt as alone as I did right now, sitting on a bench, watching people bustle around, hurrying to and from work, busy living their lives. My dad's face came to mind. Keep your head up, girl. Tomorrow is always a new day. I blew out a long breath. I had to figure this out, and I had no one left to turn to for help. My mom had died when I was 10 from a brain aneurysm. My dad passed 2 years ago, and the little money he'd left was now gone, thanks to that bitch Trish. Kelly didn't have two dimes to rub together, and I was about to lose my apartment. Unless I whored myself out to Terry. Simply the thought of that made my skin crawl. I looked up at the sky. When had my life become this tragedy?
I checked my wallet. I had $27 to my name. That was it. At the apartment, there was some ramen, the empty box of wine, some crackers, and a jar of instant coffee. Trish had taken the coffee maker. I spent the day wandering around, applying for jobs, finally giving up when I ran out of resumes and smiles. I went to the store and bought a loaf of bread and the cheapest jar of peanut butter they had. At least I could eat sandwiches for a few days. Back at the apartment, I opened the fridge door to put the bread inside and froze. Sitting there on the empty shelf was a bottle of beer. I didn't drink beer. Terry did. I recognized the brand from the bottles I had seen dangling often from his hand. Terry had been in here. He had left the bottle as a reminder he could get in whenever he wanted. Terrified, I grabbed the knife and searched the apartment to make sure he wasn't still there. Once satisfied, I slipped the knives into the door trim and sat on the old sofa, drawing my knees up to my chest. I wasn't safe here, and I had to go. The question was, where? I picked up my laptop, scanning the sites I had been on, hoping maybe there would be a message waiting. But there was nothing. I checked all my stats, but there had been zero new views anywhere. I had hoped for a call to fill in at a waitressing job, do some bartending, a temp job, but I had nothing. I wondered if I would qualify for welfare. Then I shook my head. I needed to find a job. Any job. My gaze fell to the tab I had opened for Solutions for You, and I reread the posting I had made fun of last night. I chewed on my fingernail, staring at it. After last night, I was certain whoever posted this was a grumpy old curmudgeon. Girl Friday? Cycle Man? How ridiculous. Something caught my eye, and glancing toward the door, I could see the shadows of feet outside the door at the bottom, and the handle was turning. Slowly. Silently. I watched, scared as my lock turned, the metal glinting in the hall light. The door moved a fraction and stopped, the metal of the knives I had slid in stopping it. It moved again, then once more. The lock reversed back into place, the handle spinning back. There was a low curse, and the feet disappeared. But I knew he'd be back. My gaze went back to the screen. A grumpy curmudgeon was far preferable to a would-be rapist. Recalling what he'd said about my attitude, I was certain he wouldn't even accept my chat request. Swallowing my pride, I clicked on the post and opened a chat window. Charlie, is the job still available?
Chapter 3. Max. I sat at the old desk, running a hand through my hair. It had been another busy day, another day of falling behind on all the things that needed to be done. I grabbed a bottle of water and drained it, tossing it into the recycle bin. I clicked the mouse, checking the computer. I needed to order some parts and get to the bank. I needed to do a lot of things that I never seemed to have the time or energy for these days. I clicked on the job site, scanning through the messages. I'd had a dozen replies to the ad, all of which I dismissed quickly. Four were bogus, and one shared far too much personal information. A few wanted way more money than I offered. A couple frightened me. The women responding told to be working. They were looking for a place to live, not a job. I didn't have time to look after anyone. The others weren't serious, which pissed me off. I didn't have time to deal with idiots. The guy who had sent me a message last night had been a bit of a surprise. He certainly had an attitude and told me what he thought of my posting. He'd made me laugh, to be honest. It was a little sexist when I reread it, but I hadn't had time to change it today. I disliked technology, mostly because I didn't understand most of it. When I was younger, I was far more interested in the mechanics of an engine and spent all my time in the garage with my dad. I could use technology I was trained on for mechanics. The rest I found overwhelming and, frankly, annoying. Facebook, Instagram, websites, all of it. I used what I had to, but I also knew I needed someone with more experience to help me figure it out. I was surprised to see a new message from Charlie. Even more surprised when I saw he was asking if the job was available. At least I thought that was his question. Part of me wondered if he just wanted to spar again. Before responding, I checked his profile, seeing it gave little information except he had experience in office management and was seeking a job immediately.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?